We'll bring Christian greetings this morning. It is very good to be here with you. Feels like we're not here a lot of the time. Just a lot going on. The last several months have felt for us, or for me, maybe I should speak for myself, that just kind of feels like you're in the middle of a whirlwind and you just kind of propelling from one event to the next and just almost take more energy than you're capable of replenishing. But God is good, and so thankful that we can trust Him, that He has been with us, He will be with us. It is a day, today is a maybe a day of faces each of us a little differently. Exactly 6 years ago today, lost a sister-in-law, a sister, a mother, grandmother. As I'm thinking about this last month, you know, there's quite a few here that it seems like there's different anniversaries of different dates. And I had to wonder, you know, as life goes on, as we get older, there's going to be more of those because we're older. And if we're still here, there's just more of those kind of things in our lives. And where is our security? I appreciate that thought. Is it in Christ? Are we trusting Him? Are we trusting other things? I'm going to do something just a little bit different this morning. We have a few things to go through. But afterwards, before we go into the message, I'm going to give opportunity. If you have a testimony, prayer requests, a song, something you'd like to share, I'm just going to give you that opportunity. And because I think there's value in being spontaneous, sharing, and having interaction. And so here's your opportunity. Your opportunity is going to be here this morning. Don't fear. Take it if the Lord lays something on your heart. So I'm going to give opportunity to give a couple, Nick Grizovich and Travis High. I wanted to say that name again. Let's see if I can get it out right. I'm going to give them opportunity to share. Our normal process of when we have a couple that gets married, and one of them is from here and the other one moves here, is that we take them in automatically as members. We give them the opportunity to share their testimony of support. So we're going to do that this morning here. It's good to have. We're glad to have you here. Glad to have you coming this way. Seems like a lot of times they're going that way, and we have some more coming this way, and some more going that way. So it's part of life. So I'll give you brothers the opportunity to not lay my eyes on you right now, but maybe start with Nick and then Travis, and let you share what you have to share.
Before me this year, here in Missouri, thankful for the brother in here, thankful
Okay. Thank you to both of you for that, for sharing that. And again, I say it's you're welcome. It's good to have you here. Also, was going to announce this morning that we're tentatively planning on baptism for Levi Kinsinger on July 26th. So we're announcing this as a vote. And if you have any questions for him or for us, feel free to reach out to us this coming week. We're also planning on taking Aaron and Beth Miller. See you're here this morning. Good to have you here. In as members on the 26th, and we're giving that as a vote. And I look forward to that. It's a, you know, it's a aspect of church work that's a blessing and encouragement, and we're happy to have you all here with us. I look forward to continue working with you in the brotherhood. And also, just I know sometimes you kind of forget, and I thought I'd refresh our memories. We're about a third of the way through our through the instruction book with our current class, Monique Good and Lavina Kinsinger, Kent Byler, and Jordan Knepp. So we look forward to having that baptismal service probably this fall. So let's remember to pray for them. So I'm just, I think I'm just going to open it up right now. If you have, if anyone has a something you'd like to share before we move on.
Glad to be here this morning. Seems like some things are changing in my life as far as work and different things, and I think it's put us in different great decisions. And that I could keep my focus on the Lord, knowing that He knows what's in the future.
Okay, Lord bless you, Robert. I want to do that. Anyone else? And this is not, doesn't have to be the back half of the church. It can be the front part too. So. Thank you for that. I think we can praise the Lord this morning that we have Will with us. He went through a pretty dramatic experience this past week with getting an overdose of medication and due to somebody putting the wrong amount on the prescription. So we praise the Lord you're here, Will. And anybody else? Appreciate that. I appreciate that. Free to share about tribute to Jenny, her being an encourager, and that's the way I would remember her, as an encourager. Just knew how to put a positive punch in their word to push you forwards, and that's an example, that's a lesson we can all take, is that we can all be that kind of a person. Anybody else? If you keep going for a half hour, we can just stop with that. But if you don't. All right, well, I don't want to cut anybody off. Maybe, I'll just mention one more thing here, and then we'll, might ask Jason Miller to lead us in prayer as we stand after this, and then just remember some of the ones that were requested prayer this morning, and then we'll move on. But the thing I wanted to mention, and I want to do this in a very, just as a matter of fact, it's a clear rumor that's come back to some of us as ministers, and it's being said that I said that the group that left is not welcome to attend church here, and that was a misunderstanding, and all the ministers were there, we were all there. I think at the meeting where that came out of, it wasn't said, it's not our intent, and it wouldn't follow along with the letter that we handed, that we sent with that group. So if any of you want to see that letter, you're sure welcome to it. I don't mind sharing it, but just want to clear that, and if you have any questions, feel free to talk to any of us. It's not what we want to do. It's not what we want to move forwards, and So just want to give that, clear that. So let's, why don't we stand together for prayer, and Jason, you want to lead us in prayer.
We
You want to turn with me to John chapter 3. Appreciate what we've heard, some of the words we've heard out of John this morning, the living water. I hope I wrote that big enough you can see it. Can somebody tell me what that word is? Maybe it's not big enough writing. Another? Is that what I heard? That's an N at the end. That's my bad. Should have wrote a little bigger. That's the title to the message this morning. That is Anothan. Can anybody tell me what that means? Think looking at John chapter 3. It is born from above in the Greek. And I'm not sure that I'm pronouncing that right. It's Anothan. Anothan. Or you can just born from above. I'd like to read this passage, John chapter 3, the first 21 verses. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus saith unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, Ye must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh, and whither it goeth. So is every one that is born of the Spirit. Nicodemus answered and said unto him, How can these things be? Jesus answered and said unto him, Art thou a master of Israel, and knowest not these things? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, We speak that we do know, and testify that we have seen, and ye receive not our witness. If I have told you earthly things, and ye believe not, how shall ye believe if I tell you of heavenly things? And no man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man which is in heaven. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men loved darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. So Jesus was still in Jerusalem on his first visit there, according to the records, where we have this incident transpire. Nicodemus, a ruler, a teacher, a religious elite, a Pharisee, a member of the Sanhedrin. We have status, education, and moral righteousness. This man comes to Jesus by night. Was it to protect himself? Well, that's possible, but I don't think so. I believe he came by night because he wanted an opportunity to talk to Jesus. How was he going to be able to come and communicate with all the crowds around him, with all the pressure? So he came by night, and he found Jesus. He addresses Jesus as an equal, rabbi to rabbi. "We know that you have come from God as a teacher, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him." Jesus answered him, and he gets right to the point. He says, "Unless one is born anathen, unless one is born from above, he cannot see the kingdom of God." He knocks the props out from under him. He was a Jew. This why he didn't need any, he didn't need anything else. Nicodemus hears, again, I believe it was a horizontal change. You need to be born again. Try harder. Do it over. Start from scratch. Go back. Erase everything in the past and go back and start again. Jesus means from above. A vertical change. Divine intervention. A gift from heaven. And Jesus uses two illustrations, one from nature and the other from the history of the nation Israel. The one from nature was, "The wind bloweth where it listeth." The other from the history of Israel would have been familiar to Nicodemus. He knew this story well. "As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up," there in verse 14. If we start out with looking at the illustration of the wind, what was Christ illustrating? What was the point he was trying to teach Nicodemus? What is there for us today, for all time? He gave this illustration in response to Nicodemus' question, "How can a man be born when he is old?" And I don't know how old Nicodemus was. There are some sources that would guess he would have been late 40s, middle 50s. General thought is that he was in his 50s. But here he found himself a lifetime scholar of the scriptures, a man with decades of institutional wisdom, most likely gray hair or no hair, cultural respect, sitting in the dark as a student to a young, unaccredited rabbi from Nazareth. And Christ just declared to Nicodemus that the kingdom of God demands a new personality, a complete change. No man can see it unless he is born anathen, from above. Then after Nicodemus' question, Jesus goes on to say, "Unless one is born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God." So there must be understanding. And in order to understand, there must be a new birth, a new personality, an experience, entering into it, and a new birth and a new personality. You know, Nicodemus was a man with scriptural knowledge. He was a Jew. What more did he need? And what did Jesus have to offer him that he didn't already have, that he didn't already know? Jesus didn't have all the years of schooling and teaching that he did. And this morning where Kyle was reading, over there in the last part of chapter 7, he says, "Nicodemus saith unto them, He that came to Jesus by night being one of them, doth our law judge any man before it hear him and know what he saith? And this was the answer they gave him, Art thou also of Galilee? Search and look, for what out of Galilee ariseth no prophet." Well, they weren't too well-versed because I think there were some prophets. Jonah may have come from there, I think, and there may have been some others. So they weren't quite on track there. unless one is born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. There must be understanding. You know, Nicodemus, I don't know what he was thinking there. Jesus didn't have all the years of schooling, the teaching that he did. You know, what good comes out of Nazareth? We also have that statement made in the Bible. But knowing the works that Jesus did, the miracles, he was convinced that God was with him. He said, no man can do these things unless God is with him. He knew that. He saw through what a lot of the others were rejecting. Jesus had something that he wanted. There was a void in his heart that he was yearning to fill, I believe. And he wanted that. When Nicodemus asked, how can a man be born when he is old? You know, what was going through his mind? Sometimes, as a young person, you look at that pretty simply. That's just impossible. He was a Pharisee. You know, he believed in the spiritual side of man's nature. But how can a man be born again? An entire man be born when he is old? To show the impossibility of it, Nicodemus uses a physical illustration. Can a man enter the second time, into his mother's womb and be born? Nicodemus seems to have been thinking all that time, all that he was, everything that he had become over the years of his lifetime, his personality in its entirety. How can a man undo the past? How can a man be born again? How can he start over when he is old? His question was making a point. This is incredulous. No way. You know, man cannot be physically born again. And if that can't be done, in the physical realm, how can it be done in the spiritual? Or the whole of your being? So that was the question that Nicodemus was coming back to Jesus with. It was an important question, a tremendous question. Jesus says, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. This is verse 8, the wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is every one that is born of the Spirit. I think Jesus was telling Nicodemus, remember that the laws that govern the flesh and the laws that govern the Spirit are not identical. Looking at it from a human perspective, Nicodemus, you're right. It's impossible to be born again. But in the realm of the Spirit, it's different. And Christ uses the illustration of the wind, the natural illustration. You know, Jesus used illustrations that connected with his audiences. You know, consider the lilies, you know, the wheat, the tares, the list goes on. Here he used wind. Where do you think Nicodemus found Jesus? In the garden? On the housetop? In a house? We don't know. I wonder if it wasn't on a housetop. And they're sitting up there in the night. And the winds are racing down those Jerusalem streets. We know we know the stories of the winds that go across the Lake of Galilee. But wherever they were, I think they could hear the wind. And he says, Nicodemus, where is it coming from? Where is it going? You don't know. You're in the presence of a reality demonstrated, but there's a mystery there that you can't explain. You can hear it. The fact is there. There is wind. You know, I think the comparison is not ultimately of the wind and the Spirit, but it's a comparison of Nicodemus and the man that is born from above. You know, the wind is a demonstrated fact. You can hear the sound, so you know the reality. There is wind. The man that is born of the Spirit, is also known by the results it produces. The results are there. It's a mystery, but the man born of the Spirit knows it. The fact is there. And with the laws of nature, we know the power of the wind. You know, most of us are old enough to know what wind can do. We see trees down. We see houses destroyed in tornadic winds, even straight winds. If you've been out to the coast, you see the devastation of wind. I understand that this past week, Matt Miller gave a children's class here, and he had a little sailboat, and he was demonstrating what the wind does to this little sailboat. You know, it can the ship can use the wind, a sailboat can use the wind to its advantage, and a good sailor can take the wind and go about any direction, is my understanding. It's hard for me to see how you can go backwards with it, but there's ways that they can do a lot. But if it tries to defy, if the sailor tries to defy the strong wind, his ship will be destroyed, likely. We can try to defy gravity and walk off the edge of the cliff, but we know what's going to happen. We can waver and flail our arms all we want to, but we're still going to go down if we don't have a parachute. But if we obey the law of the force, it becomes your servant. It's something that becomes very useful. And it's the same way if we obey the law of the Spirit. If we obey the law of the spiritual life, the result will be that all the forces of that life will demonstrate the reality of the birth, which is the birth from above, the birth of the Spirit. You know, just as obedience will bless you, so disobedience will destroy you. You know, electricity is a wonderful thing. You know, it's a blessing if we obey its laws. We're in here, we have light, we have comfort, AC running, fans are running. But try to disobey its law. Try to interact with that and defy that force. It can be very destructive. It can even cause death. And Jesus says, Nicodemus, you hear the wind. You know it's there because of its voice, but it's a mystery that you can't explain. So you must be born from above, of water, which would be symbolize an action of repentance, and the Spirit, regeneration, a complete change of ownership. So though, although you don't understand the mystery, obey and you will experience a change. You can be born again, born anew, born from above, and experience that new personality through which you will experience being a part of that kingdom of heaven here on earth. You know, Nicodemus says, how can these things be in verse 9? Maybe a better rendering of that would be, by what power can these things be caused to be? How can these things be? You know, that the answer there is what brings you face to face with heavenly things. You know, it's the action of heaven that makes the earthly experience possible. The action that makes it possible to buy a new life from above, to escape from the past, or to put that behind us, to be forgiven. You know, the psalmist says, as far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. Then he goes on, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Notice again, he starts with four. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. You know, Nicodemus knew this story about the serpent being lifted up. And let's find that in Numbers chapter 21. You know, why did Moses lift up that serpent? And 21 verse 5 is the answer to that. It says, the people spake against God and against Moses. Wherefore have you brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there is no bread, neither is there any water, and our soul loatheth this light bread. They openly rebelled against God. The result of that rebellion was God sent fiery serpents in their midst with deadly bites, terrible anguish and suffering. Why did Moses lift the serpent? What did it mean when it was lifted up? You know, Moses lifted up the serpent because God, the very one that the people had spoken against, the God whose authority they were insulting and denying, told Moses to make this serpent, to lift it up on the pole. Those that were suffering as a result of their own rebellion had the opportunity to return to God. Moses made this serpent of brass. He set it up on the pole. Was there any healing in that brass serpent? Absolutely not. I think we'd all agree. There was no healing in that brass serpent. Brass, a type of judgment. There's a lot in that. But then why look? The serpent, a type of the devil. Why look? Because God, whose authority had been challenged, commanded it. So by looking at that serpent, they were yielding to the divine authority of God. It was a new beginning, a fresh start. If they were bit, if they refused to look, they died by the poison of that bite. But if they yielded, if they turned their neck and took the opportunity that was offered them, they were healed. It was a look that signified repentance. Every head turned was the head of someone who was repenting and now obeying the divine command. And Jesus told Nicodemus, you know your history, you know this. If we stand back and look at that story, it brings back out the story of humanity, broken, perishing, because of his own rebellion against God. The story of all the world's agony and failure. There's only one hope. It's a new birth. It's to be born from above. There's only one hope for us as individuals, as congregation. It's that new life that will liberate us from the bondage of the past and enable us to live a life of victory. And he tells him, even so, the Son of Man must be lifted up. In John 8:28, he says, then Jesus said unto them, his enemies there, when you have lifted up the Son of Man, then shall ye know that I am he, and that I do nothing of myself. But as my Father hath taught me, I speak these things, and he that sent me is with me. The Father hath not left me alone, for I do always those things that please him. Christ, we know what he was talking about. He was crucified. He was lifted up. But it was something that God allowed. It wasn't something that man had the power to do, but it was allowed. It was what had to be done to make a way for us. As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. And we know what Jesus meant. He was talking about his death. He was looking past the cross to victory. That serpent wasn't a type of Christ. That serpent was a type, was pointing forward. That pole was a type of the cross, I believe. And the cross, it was pointing forward to the cross where the serpent would be defeated. Christ defeated the serpent, and the victory was won. We have the opportunity to be healed. As I was studying, a song came to my mind, a song that, I think it's been sung here. I'm confident it has, and I think maybe there's even a couple, or at least one here that sang it here, and that's Let Me Take Another Look at Calvary. And I wish we could sing that, but I don't know how many know that. I'm just going to read it here. Let me take another look at Calvary. Let me see the place where Jesus died. Let the scenes again unfold before me till my soul has caught his agony. Let me see the rusty nails through his hands and his feet. I would see him hanging on the tree. For 'twas there he purchased my salvation. It was there he paid my debt for me. Let me take another look at Calvary. Let me see the crown of thorns upon his head. Let me hear the angry mob shouting, "Crucify him till this man is dead." I could see again his friends as they followed afar. I could feel his lonely spirit sigh. I could bathe his bleeding feet with teardrops. For my soul, the Lord was born to die. Let me take another look at Calvary. Let me see the fountain flowing deep and wide, for it cleanseth every sin forever. Just a look, and I'll be satisfied. I could see again his side that was wounded for me. I would bow once more to humbly pray. Let me take another look at Calvary. Let me take another look today. You know, the opportunity to return to the divine authority. You know, do we seek to be born from above to escape the fiery bite or hellfire? You know, yes, that we do. But there's something much greater than that. It means getting back to God. And doing it because of the love that he has shown for us. Yielding to the authority against which man has rebelled, that demands repentance, but it provides life and healing. Just as the children of Israel had to yield and look and submit to the authority of the one they rebelled against, you know, we are called to submit to the authority of God. What a beautiful illustration. For God so loved the world. And I don't know how many of you remember, Brother, I think it's maybe the last time Brother Melvin Bontrager preached here, he hung this little sign up here, "So loved." He said there's so much in those words, "so loved." It's so deep. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Let's kneel together for prayer.